Finding life a bit complex? Confusing? Aware that your old strategies aren't working? Why not ask Pam and Marilyn? This is the Irreverent Therapists, and we're here to add some clarity, humor, and a bit of what might be considered blasphemy to your day.
Hello, everybody. Here I am singing, "These are a few of my favorite tools." I always did love musicals. So I'm Marilyn Bradford of the Irreverent Therapist, joined by Pam Hodling. And we had so much fun on our last show of our favorite tools. So this is our few of our favorite tools number two. So how you doing, Pam?
I am doing awesome, Marilyn, and I'm so glad we're doing more of this because we barely, like, scratched the surface of the tools we have.
I know, absolutely. And I was working with a couple of clients today, and a whole number of things came up. So let me start with one of them.
Okay.
I had a new client who called me because she was concerned about how much she was drinking. But when I asked her, you know, what would you like to get out of this session? One of the things that she said was freedom from guilt. Oh. I'm like, what guilt? Who does that belong to? And she discussed, you know, from her church and various other things that there was a lot of emphasis put on not drinking or drinking very little. You know, you might have a glass of champagne at a wedding or something like that. And because she was drinking more than the church prescribed, and of course other people, she was feeling guilty. So there's a whole group of things in Access Consciousness, which is where we get these tools, called distractor implants. And we probably won't go into all of them today. Anger, rage, fury, hate, blame, shame, regret, guilt, addictive, compulsive, perverted,
obsessive
points of view, love, sex, jealousy, and grief. I can't even, you know, we could go on. But anyway.
I can name them all. I've got them right here.
Oh, cool.
I'll take them where you left off. Love, sex, jealousy, peace, life, death, living, reality, fear, doubt, business, and relationship.
I love it. And what I was talking with her about was how distractor implants are not things that you're born with. They're things that are basically put into you by your family, by your culture, by the society, by churches, by schools, in order to control you and in order to distract you from actually being who you are.
Well, and that's the thing about the distractor implants that really helped me was it's there to distract you. So if you think you're feeling guilty and you're all, you know, it's like you're all caught up on that superficial level of I'm guilty. Am I guilty? Am I not guilty? Instead of being able to go down what's under that's actually true.
Yes.
Or why you're buying or the whatever so you can change it.
Well, and all distractor implants cut off awareness, and that's a lot of what we talked about. But, you know, people believe these as if they're true. So let's just take guilt for drinking.
Mm-hmm.
So from this client's point of view, this is a truth. If you drink more than a glass of champagne at a wedding, you're bad. You're wrong.
You're an alcoholic.
Yeah, let's go a little bit. Let's see, we're in New Mexico. Let's go a little bit east to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And to an Italian family enjoying dinner. Now, I'm making a great generalization here. We do a French family too. But they certainly don't have a problem with having a bit of wine with lunch and or dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And why am I bringing this up? Because – and Texas and their beer drinking. Because if it were true, it would be true across the board.
Right. Every culture, every
exactly.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And so one of the things about these distractor implants, like guilt and shame, they're all based on arbitrary judgments.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I really would like people to get. So that's my little discourse on guilt. Forget it. Don't do it. It doesn't help you ever. I mean, let me say one more thing about guilt. Because one of the things I realized for myself when I was first looking at this, and for my clients too, is if I do something that truly doesn't work for me as a being, not for the finite me that's bought this whole malarkey of what everybody tells me is right and wrong, but me as a finite being, I don't need to feel guilty to not do it again.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. When you're functioning as the infinite being you truly can be, it's just choice. It's, you know, I can choose to have a glass of wine. I can choose to not. What's it creating? You know, what's it creating for me? What's it creating for my body? There's no right or wrong to it. And if you're creating something that doesn't work for you, you change it. You choose something different.
Yeah.
But it's not coming from there. This is the right way or the wrong way to do it.
Yeah. I'll tell a little story. Years and years and years ago, I think I'd just been in Access maybe 2 years. I was in Texas at Christmas time. You know how that bumper to bumper traffic is at Christmas?
I live in Los Alamos.
No, you live in Los Alamos. You've never seen bumper to bumper. And before that, New Hampshire. Never mind.
It's been about 20 years since
yes,
I lived
about. Well, anyway, it was like five lanes across, bumper to bumper traffic. And we were stopped, and I reached down to get a CD from the floor, and I rear-ended this lady. Now, you could tell there wasn't a lot of damage. Nobody was hurt. It was we were going 5 miles an hour. It was kind of a boink. But she makes her way over a couple of lanes into a parking lot. And I realized at the time, very fleetingly, I said, you know what? With this traffic and all this mess, I could just drive on and she would never find me. And I asked a question. It wasn't guilt that made me change. I said, so would that actually work for me? What would that be like? What would that create? And it's like, you know what? That's not, in this 10 seconds, who I am. Mm-hmm. So I tootled on over there myself. And she was one of those hysterical, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm like, look, it's a small fender bender. Here's my insurance. Nobody's hurt. But it was done out of truly asking a question, does this work for me?
Mm-hmm.
Not out of, oh, I should do it because. There was no shoulds, there was no guilt, there was no this is the right way, this is the wrong way. And that's what I'm really talking about when I'm talking about getting rid of guilt. I think a lot of people, you know, Gary tells a story of how he knew a bunch of Catholic guys who would go out, you know, mess around all weekend and then come in and get the, what are they called? Absolution.
Confession.
Confession, right. And then they go out and do it again and get confession. This is not that. This is not about breaking somebody else's rules. This is truly finding out what actually works for you as a being.
Well, I think it might be helpful here. What I'm thinking of, Marilyn, is the Access Clearing Statement, which if you've been listening to the show, you might have heard Marilyn. I use it some. And it's where like an energy comes up and it's the words right and wrong, good and bad, pod, poc, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds. And I'm actually not going to talk right now about the clearing statement, but just the right and wrong, good and bad part. Because what we're doing with the clearing statement is you're energetically going to everywhere you've made whatever it is you're wanting to clear, right and wrong or good and bad, you know. And a lot of people go, wait, how can you function in the world if there isn't right and wrong, good and bad? But what we do is we tie ourselves up and limit ourselves with this, because it's like, you know, say I'm judging that it would be wrong for you to drive away in that situation with the fender bender. It's like,
right.
I'm constantly having to judge, are people meeting whatever I've judged is right? Are they breaking the rules? Are they, you know? And it's that constant state of judgment. In that state of judgment, you have no awareness, no choice, no possibility, no contribution.
Right.
It's like it's this very solid, stuck kind of energy. And so a lot of the tools that we're sharing with you guys are tools to get out of judgment and out of that everything's right or wrong, good or bad. Because if it's not right or wrong, good or bad, you have the choice. Like, you know, and you know, usually at this point someone says, well, what about murder? That's clearly wrong. And it's like, well, actually, is it right and wrong, or is it just a choice? Now, I choose to not murder people. It doesn't really create in my life what I'd
like to
say.
If someone were
attacking my kids,
exactly,
I would so kill them if I needed to keep them. You know, so it's like, if I'm not having the judgment, I choose to live in and create a world where people aren't, you know, running around murdering each other, because that's the more conscious to me. you know, it's like, I think what people think is if you take away the right, wrong, good, and bad, everything's going to go to pot. And there's, you know, there won't be any reason why people would choose to behave with each other in a way that creates. When actually, when you get rid of the judgment, you would choose something that's destructive rather than what creates greater, for what reason.
Exactly. And you know, as you were talking, Pam, I thought of the perfect example in America at this point of anger, rage, fury, hate, blame, shame, regret, and guilt. All of our politicians in this whole election thing.
Oh, yes. Everybody's right or wrong.
Everybody's right or wrong. Everybody's blaming the other person. You know, there's a lot of anger. There's even a lot of hate. I mean, now there's a lot of violence, rage. Those are all ways of making sure that you're not aware of anything and that you can't actually accurately be aware, see. I don't like to use that word, but I'm going to use it here. What's going on with people? Mm-hmm. So there we have distractor implants. Distractor implants in.
You say that five times fast.
Say that five times fast. Well, we're going to break. And when we get break, I can't even. Once again, we'll talk more about these tools.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on the Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today. So you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Oops. Oops, I jumped in a little early. Sorry about that. I heard our thing and I thought,
you
oh,
heard our music and you just
yeah,
went
I
for
just
it.
Jumped in. But one of the things that listening to our little blurb on the radio brought up when we were talking about what if life didn't have to be so serious is one of the Access 10 commandments, no form, no structure, no significance, which is also about not making things important. All of which is tied up with judgment. I know we spent some time on judgment the last call we did. But I really want to, what do I want to say? I'd like people to get how freeing it is to let go of significance. To let go of, this is so important. This really matters. You know, they snubbed me. Or I lost my job. So what does it do when you make something significant and really important?
I've got a great example.
Yay, go Pam!
I was talking to someone today. He's about my age, and we were talking about parenting. His son is an adult, mine are teenagers, but what we were talking about was actually, you know, where you make it so significant to parent well.
Mm.
Actually cripples your ability to parent. Well. you know, because it's, you know, he's kind of at the point where, you know, things his son does can just totally push his buttons and tie him up in knots. And, you know, it's like, how do you undo that? Well, the coming out of judgment of you, of them, also the not making it significant. And you might be like, well, how can you make parenting not significant? It's so significant. Well, if you actually are willing, and see, to me, Marilyn, so many of these tools, they just interweave, because now
yes,
allow
they totally
is coming
interweave.
Into
yes,
my
of
mind,
course.
So we'll talk more about
and
that.
Choice and, yeah.
And choice, and, you know, but if you're an allowance of, you know, what your kids are choosing, not that that means you're condoning it, you know, just living with it or whatever, because allowance can be, that doesn't work for me in my house.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, they're choosing what they're choosing. I don't have to make it significant. I can be aware of what that, you know, from that space, I can be aware of what they're choosing, what they're not choosing, what they'll never choose, without getting tied up in knots about it. And, you know, from the space of allowance and not making it significant, I can choose what am I aware of that's going to actually create something different here.
You know, it's interesting because, I mean, I don't have kids, but I was talking with
– but you have a mother.
yes, I do. I was talking with a client sometime last week, and he's a control freak. And he was talking about how when he sees his wife working with his son on homework and it's not going well and they're frustrated, he jumps in and corrects everything. And I said, what if you would be willing to allow – your wife and son to fail in that moment. And you could feel the whole thing relax.
Wow.
Because it's like, if you're willing to allow them to fail, now you don't let it go to, you know, people screaming and pounding on the floor, but then they have the possibility of working things out. If you're coming in there and rescuing it and making it all right and managing everything, basically what you're doing is you're making your wife and your child even more children. I never say this word correctly, but infantilizing, I think, is actually mm-hmm. the best way to say it. You know, and it's so much about, okay, if they fail, so what? I don't mean, you know, necessarily failing school, but even then, so what? Okay, let's see what that creates. Because sometimes the things that we've judged are so bad and wrong actually need to occur to create more.
Well, and you said, you know, say they're failing school. It's like, how do I want to put this? It could be they're creating some things that, you know, in the are not going to serve them well yeah. and help them create a life that works for them. But, you know, even still, if you make it significant, your ability to be effective as a parent in terms of actually, you know, getting them to ask questions or look at things or choose or whatever, it goes out the window.
It totally goes out the window. I think about years ago, my goddaughter, her mom, my friend, said, I don't know what to do. You know, my daughter wants to call her Mary, wants to drop out of school. I'm like, well, what are her plans? She said, well, she says she'll get a GED. And I'm like, what's school like? And I actually went to this high school and I was like, if I had to go here, I'd die. I mean, the energy was so dense, so uniform, so barren and dull. I'm like, Mary, I think it's a great idea. I would encourage you to get your GED. But I know that there are people who would make that very, oh, no, you have to graduate from that school. You have to. They would make it so. And she did get her GED and went on to do some other things. So what can be seen as failing is not necessarily failing at all.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you talked about control. When you're trying to control everything, when you're trying to make it work, when you're trying to fix stuff, you know, everything coming from that space, I mean, one, you're anything that then doesn't match what you've judged is the right way for it to turn out. You have to judge yourself and judge everybody else involved.
Right.
You know, so many of these shows, Marilyn and I are talking about asking questions from, you know, I don't want to go to this school anymore. If you start asking questions, you can perceive different possibilities, maybe possibilities that don't fit in with, you know, the normal everyday way people do things.
Yeah.
But you can perceive the energy of those different possibilities and choose what's actually going to work for you, for your family, for your business, whatever it is.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, oh, I did want to interject here. We have a Facebook page, and you can ask questions on it. And it is the irreverenttherapist.com, correct?
Nope. No, that's our website.
Oh, that's our website.
For Facebook, you just go to Facebook and search on The Irreverent Therapist, and you'll find us.
You can tell I'm really good at social media.
I handle all the websites.
Yes, she does, and all the social media. And you know what? I don't even make it significant.
But
I wanted to bring something else up that's kind of along these lines of the father jumping in and rescuing the wife and son, which is I had another client who's a professional, and not a lot was getting done in the office, and she was feeling really uptight and all of this, and I'm like, well, what's actually going on here? I mean, what is your, you know, what are your relationships like? What's creating this turmoil here? And she said, well, you know, a lot of times people just don't get stuff in on time and or they don't really do their job. And I'm like, and she's a manager. She's like, well, I don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable. So always tell them it's okay. I'm like, wow. What is that creating? So she's making uncomfortable.
Can I just highlight something?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That is not allowance.
No.
That is being a doormat.
That is being a doormat. But it's also being superiority. It's also superiority. I know better. I can control how you feel. And it's also, once again, making these people like children and not allowing them to see what they're creating. This is not about you will suffer the consequences of this. This is really, truly allowing people to choose and to see what it creates. Mm-hmm. Because if you're always rescuing people, which is a position of superiority, they have nowhere to go. You know, they can't even ask a real question. Then they sort of become, oh, yeah, I know, okay, so what? Deadlines don't matter, and she'll tell me something nice about myself, and why worry about it?
Right, right.
So I thought that fit in quite nicely with, like, rescuing people.
Mm-hmm.
So get over the willingness to be uncomfortable. I used to tell my clients, I still do, you know, if you're going to actually change yourself, your life, you have to be, you have to make being uncomfortable your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And don't make it significant. Back to
don't
that.
Don't make it significant.
Don't make it significant.
Well, you know, I don't know why, but what's popping into my mind, Marilyn, are some questions that you and I both ask. We ask ourselves, we ask each other when we're facilitating each other, we use with clients. And since that just like is just loud in my head, I'm going to go ahead and to me, they all are kind of similar. if I weren't blank, what would I be aware of? So like, yes, if I weren't feeling guilty about drinking champagne, if I weren't worrying about what's happening with my kid, if I weren't, whatever, fill in the blank.
Trying
what would
to
I
control
be aware
my
of?
Office mates. Yeah.
It, trying to control my office mates. What would I be aware of? And when you ask a question like that, you're not, it's not necessarily that you're getting the, I would be aware of this, 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 and this. Just asking the question helps open up your awareness to what else is possible here. What am I getting distracted by all this other stuff when, that I could actually look at and change?
Yes.
And then another one is this part of the change I've been asking for?
That's one that we really ought to go into, because I think that that's a really biggie.
Yeah, because, you know, like I use the, you know, say I'm sitting here, I'll call Marilyn, I'm like, I'm not getting enough done.
I'm lounging on the couch. I read a book today.
Instead of working. And then if I ask, okay, is this part of the change I've been asking for? Or I actually use it a lot if my body's feeling sick. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's easy to go to, oh, people have germs, I'm picking up germs, there's the bug going around. You know, is this part of the change I've been asking for? A lot of times I'm asking for a huge amount of change for me, for my body, my business. And, you know, that's not always comfortable. And so what I could easily judge as and go to the conclusion of, you know, something's wrong here. If I ask this question, I have this awareness of like, oh, this is all part of the change I've been asking for. And then there's this lightness and space, and I can just kind of go with whatever it is.
Awesome. And we're going to break, and we'll talk more about that when we get back.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Live with Medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your hosts on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Alrighty then. Now I came back at the correct time. I'm Marilyn Bradford, joined with Pam Hodling on The Irreverent Therapists, and we're talking about more of our favorite tools. And when we went to break, Pam, you were talking about, is this the change I've been asking for? And mm-hmm. one of the things that brings that for me up the most is when I am not, quote, doing, like you're lying on the couch reading a book. Because yeah. this is totally a doo-doo world, people.
And that really creates a lot of doo-doo.
And that really creates a lot of doo-doo. It's not about being. There's no sense that you can be an energy that will change things. It's all about your doo-doo list and doing and doing. So that we're so kind of entrained to this that when we're not doing, we think we're not actually creating, or that there's not that just being, and maybe taking a break and allowing our body to rest and allowing some of these changes to sort of metamorphosize could actually be absolutely the best thing or the most expansive thing that we could do in the moment. So I just wanted to bring that up because I know that there are times for both of us when we've been going through enormous changes mm-hmm. when we're pretty much like, okay, I'm just like going to sit on the couch for the entire weekend. And then a few days later, it's like, wow, and I have this idea and this energy and this and this and this and this and this.
Well, I want to pick up on what you said because you said be an energy mm-hmm. that will change this. And to me, so many of these access consciousness tools that we're talking about, it's all changing the energy of things and working with the energy of things. Because if you could have thought your way out of, mm-hmm. planned, controlled your way out of,
yes,
you know, judged your way out of,
figured it out your way out of,
whatever it is that's not working in your life, you would have done it by now. And all these tools are about changing the energy of you, of whatever's going on, you know, clearing the limitations, choosing you know, what will create greater possibilities and greater choice. And, you know, some of them are more like overtly about energy. Marilyn, I know you use this one too, but I love what we call the energy ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, what that is, it's like, if you imagine this big ball of energy in front of you and you start putting in it everything you'd like to create. And actually, you know, but what people tend to then do is like, okay, I want a BMW, I want a this or that. And it's really not so much about specific things like that. So one way that Dr. Dane here does this is he says, close your eyes and imagine waking up to your phenomenal life. You know, what's the energy of the space you're living in? What's the cool. energy of what you're creating, the projects, the work? Get the energy of your money flows, the energy of the people around you. And it's like you go for what's the energy of what I'd like to create? Because then it doesn't matter, well, is it a two-story house or a one-story house in this neighborhood or that? It's the energy of what you'd like to create. And so you put that in this ball. And I think of it as you take like a cosmic fire hose from the universe and hook it up
like
to the ball and just pour massive amounts of energy
cosmic
into this ball.
Yeah.
And then you send tendrils of energy out to everyone and everything that would like to contribute to creating this.
Awesome.
And, you know, and then it's like you get that energy of what you'd like to create your life as. And, you know, say you're at the store and you're looking at buying clothes. Well, the shirt you're thinking of buying, it's like, does it match that energy of what you'd like to create?
Exactly. Everything that comes available, you ask, does it match that energy?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whether it's a guy or gal you're dating or a piece of clothing or a job or taking a walk or anything.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's like you can use it as like a Geiger counter for creating what you'd like to create in your life.
I think that's so cool. I love the whole energy thing, and that's something that feels very strange to people. And it takes – because we've not been trained, we've been actually untrained to be aware of energy, mm-hmm. It takes a while to really be able to be aware of it. But if it, I tell you what, being aware of the energy trumps thinking every time.
Oh, that's so good, because I wanted us to talk about thinking versus perceiving and knowing. So go for it.
Well, thinking is very linear. And if you've noticed, the world is not very linear. It's often filled with surprises. And it's filled with surprises because we're trying to make the linear thing work. All right. If I go to this college and get this degree, then I'll be able to get this job, and then I'll be able to make this much money, and along the way, I'll be able to marry this type of person. How often does that work? Like, pretty much not at all. Or if it does work, how happy are these people? Like, pretty much miserable. And so what's going on here? So instead of actually being present and living your life in 10-second increments, another one of the Access Consciousness commandments, mm-hmm. you are following a plan that has nothing to do with the awareness of what's going on. Nothing yeah. whatsoever. And people don't really get that. I mean, and it can be a small thing. It can be like, I'm having people over and you know what? I'm going to make Italian food because I really want to make Italian food and I haven't cooked Italian for a long time. Notice there's no question there.
Yeah.
Because, okay, truth. You know, what would it create to have these people? Oh, it's really expensive. So what kind of food would create more for us in space? Oh, huh. Summer, everybody's wanting something light, maybe salad and fish on the grill. But when we make these decisions about what something should be, whether it's this big thing like going to college to get this degree and married, or the smaller thing like making Italian food without asking questions, we absolutely turn ourselves off from the energy of what the universe is showing us would create more.
Well, and I'm so glad you kind of went that direction, because I just want to highlight the difference mm-hmm. between like the energy ball and what's the energy of what I'd like to create, and, you know, continuously asking questions and being willing to change on a dime.
Yes, absolutely.
And instead of, well, I've decided this is my path, this is the way it's going, you know, it's like, oh, well, for this 10 seconds, I'm asking questions, this is light, this matches the energy of what I'd like to create, but I'm also willing to be aware of all so many other possibilities, and something, it's where the magic can come in, where it's something that you never could have conceived of pops up, and you're willing to see it and choose it, because you're not, you know, when you're in that, this is the way I'm doing my life, it's like you have blinders on mm-hmm. and you can only see what you've already decided you should be doing.
And that can be things like a good wife does, a good husband does, a good mother does, you know, a good worker does, a good Christian does, a good anything does. That's another form of actually shutting off your awareness of the energy.
Mm-hmm.
I used to talk about that. It, like, just take a good mother. You know, if you're really caught up in what everybody's told you and in the brain, you would be going, well, a good mother makes sure their children study at least an hour and a half every night, and she takes them to soccer and enrolls them in as many things as she can, and she brings cupcakes 3 times a week. Now, notice there's no question about the kids.
Yeah.
So actually being a mother that would create more is much more like, hey, wonder what's going on with Johnny? What would create more for him? What can I contribute to him today?
Yeah.
You know, and if you can feel the difference in that energy. One is like imposing this grid on your life and everyone in it, and the other one is an opening to possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and we haven't really come out and said it, but the opening to possibilities is way more fun.
Yes, it is. Well,
when you're not making it significant, when you're not in judgment all the time, when you're not trying to impose this rigid structure of what you expect life to be, you know, then there's like fun and joy.
Well, and I was thinking, I'll if you don't mind the suitcase thing, I'll give an example.
Yeah.
Pam was just making a comment that she needed another suitcase for this big trip we're taking. And I'm like, I got tons of suitcases. You know, we can go down to my storage unit. I seem to have like a suitcase fetish. So she's like, and I had one
travel paraphernalia.
I had one that would work for her, and I said, well, let's just borrow it. She's like, well, you know, what's going to happen if it gets damaged or lost? And we're going through that. And I'm like, huh, why don't you buy it and we'll work out something between us for this? And suddenly it was totally light.
Yeah.
But we asked questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now she owns my old suitcase.
Which I absolutely love. And it's bringing great joy into my life. I had it out today. Packing.
But the point was, we didn't get stuck on anything. When the energy was kind of, we kept asking questions. Yeah. Well, what else can we do here? How else can we handle this?
You know, and I'm sure we mentioned this last time, but one of the things, Marilyn, you and I ask all the time is, if I choose this, what will my life be like in 5 years? If I don't choose this, what will my life be like in 5 years? So while we may not have like said it out loud while we were talking about the suitcases, you know, Marilyn's going, if I sell Pam my suitcase, what will my life be like in 5 years? And I'm going, if I buy Marilyn's suitcase, what will my life be like in 5 years?
Yeah.
And again, it's when it's that light, expansive energy, you know, that's a yes. That's the energy I would like to create in my life.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to say one more thing about that, because it doesn't always show up the way you think it's going to show up. Like, something might seem really light to go to some place, and maybe you get there and someone attacks you, or you get into, you know, I don't mean like physically, but I mean like called you out or something. But that may be exactly what was required to trigger you to look at something that could change your life entirely.
Which makes me think of, how does it get any better than
how
that?
How does it get any
better
than that?
We can talk about after the break.
Yes, because we just have like a few more seconds. We're doing the countdown here. And then we'll go to break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about a few more of our favorite tools.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Join Vibe Nation radio host, international psychic medium Carrie Turcotte, as she guides her listeners to rediscover themselves by accessing the keys of knowledge that already exist within. Each week's show is divinely orchestrated to intertwine with the universal energies, allowing the listeners to go deeper within. At the end of each show, Carrie will tap into the energies of the listeners and give a message from Spirit about the upcoming week. If you really want to get to know who you truly are, join Carrie each Monday at 3 p.m. on Vibe Nation Radio.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hey ladies, do you want to have that good hair day feeling all the time? Gentlemen, would you want your special someone to have that glow, letting you know she is feeling completely satisfied? This feeling and that glow can be yours by embracing your sexual power. So join me, Rachel Kenley, award-winning romance author, on The O-Spot. The O-Spot will guide you to that peak with guest interviews, book discussions, and conversations on the thrills of sexual empowerment. Put the zing back in your life. Come up and see me sometime on the O-Spot, live on Hump Day at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to our final quarter of the Irreverent Therapists, and we're talking about more of our favorite tools. And honestly, Pam, I'm looking at my list. I think we could do like six more shows on this.
Oh, I know. But I did drop the little seed of how does it get any better than this? So I think we should start with that one.
I think we should start with that one. Would you like to start?
I will so start. So how does it get any better than this? It's a question that you ask no matter what's going on. So, I mean, you've probably got the sense from us talking about good and bad that Marilyn and I don't go around judging constantly, like, is this a good thing or a bad thing that's going on in my life? You know, but whatever it is that's going on, if you ask the question, how does it get any better than this? You're basically asking the universe to show you, how does it get any better than this? So, you know, when I got the suitcase from Marilyn today, it's like, how does it get any better than this? If I lost $20, I'd be like, how does it get any better?
Yes, exactly.
Because again, it's just changing the energy. So Marilyn, how about you? Like, what are some ways you've used this or found it, you know, really helpful?
Well, for one thing, when my body is doing something that I'm wanting to judge is not good, like feeling really sick or this or that, I'll often ask, how does it get any better than this? Or what's right about this I'm not getting, which is very similar. And I can't say, I'm not going to say the pain goes away or this, but it creates this space where I have the capacity to be more aware of what's going on, where I'm not judging. That's one of the things of how does it get any better than this does, is it really takes you out of judgment and into question.
Well, and, you know, I was just thinking, like, people might be listening to this and the other show we did on our favorite tools and be like, okay, awesome tools, but what do I use? How do I know which one to use? When do I use this one? When do I use that one? And it's actually, it's the choice to change something and create something different that, you know, so it's like, does it matter if I ask who does this belong to or how does it get any better than this or what's right about this I'm not getting or use the clearing statement? There's times where one tool or another might kind of have more bang for the buck, but just the choice to say, hey, I don't have to stay stuck in whatever this is.
Yes.
I can pull out a tool and use it. And what you're looking for is, as you use the tools, are things getting lighter and more expansive?
Right. And once again, it's not about the right tool or the wrong tool. If you're using a tool and it doesn't seem to be changing much, use another tool.
Yeah. And we actually have thousands of tools.
Yeah, we truly do. It's really amazing.
We could do a whole radio show for a year on
on our favorite tools. But one thing, and this isn't written actually as a tool, but it has come up a lot for me and my clients is, well, it's a sort of a combo. You get two sides to it. One is not taking things personally, which is part of a recognizing and acknowledging that anything that anyone says or does is about them. It actually has nothing to do with you. So how do you use this to your advantage? Okay, so I was working with a real estate agent and he was going, oh, I just felt so guilty. I didn't call this guy back and blah, blah, blah. So first I used the tool. Well, who does that belong to? He's like, oh, it's his. I'm like, so what if you made a commitment to yourself to really be, not judge, but to be aware of where each of your clients is operating from? Oh, this one is very needy. Okay, so what do I do with that that's going to create more for both of us? This one is very egocentric. All right, what do I do with that? This one, in other words, and just no matter what they say, recognize it's coming from their neediness, their egocentricity, they're feeling less than and wrong. And then you actually can I don't mean like control the situation, like I'm going to control this, but through the awareness of their of where they're operating and never falling into that pit of taking things personally, you have so much more space and choice and capacity to have things turn out in a way that's expansive for you.
Well, and see, I would say not taking it personally is part of not making it significant.
Yes.
Because if you're not making things significant, you're also not taking it personally.
That's true. That's true.
Go hand in hand. So what was the other part?
Well, it was just that willingness to be aware of where other people are operating from. Mm-hmm. Because the other thing that we tend to do is that we tend to believe that because we operate from a certain place, everybody else does too. It's like I have so many clients who are like shocked, like, well, why would they do something so mean? What I just don't get it. Why would someone do something like that? And it's like, because they can.
Yeah.
And just because you would never, ever, ever do that, you assume that nobody else would ever, ever do that when they do it all the time.
Well, and to me, that kind of goes back to what we were talking about with judging things and the good and the bad. Because, you know, if you have the judgment that, you know, doing that is bad and I would never do it because it's bad, it's like, it's basically you can't see and you won't be aware of when someone is functioning from that place because you've shut it off of your awareness because you decided it's bad. You know, so if instead of the good and the bad, you're like, I'm willing to be aware of the good, the bad, and the ugly of people. It's like, you know, there could be someone who's awesome and a contribution to you in some ways. And in some ways, they're like ready to stab you in the back.
Right.
And it's like, okay, this might make a really great person to help me find a house, but I don't want to bring them home for dinner.
Exactly.
You know, so you're not having to just shut people out or let them totally, you know, run your life. It's like you, all of this, it gives you choice. When you choose to have awareness, you also have choice because then you can see what is.
Right. And you're not making a decision. Oh, this person is good in 1979 and still applying that in 2016. Mm-hmm. You're being aware of where the person's operating from every 10 seconds, every time you're with them. And that can make an enormous change.
Well, and I mean, I know we don't have a lot of time left, but Marilyn, what that makes me think of is, you know, when you're in that place of judgment, which we've talked about a lot of different ways, whether it's imposing this rigid thing on everybody because you're trying to control everything or, you know, judging yourself or other people as right and wrong. It's like you're driving down a road and there's huge walls on both sides and the only place you can get to is what you've already decided is what you have to do with your life or how your partner should be or the right way to raise your kids,
right.
Like whatever it is. And when you start using these tools and functioning more from allowance and no judgment, it's like the wall and question and possibilities, the walls come down and you have the whole vista to choose from. And you can drive anywhere because you're not limiting yourself to what you've decided has to be.
Well, and I want to add something to that, Pam, because that's marvelous. And a lot of people get close to that space and they're like, like the walls. I knew what I was supposed to do. What do I do now? Before I only had two choices. Now I have 1,000. Help! So remember one thing. Any choice is only good for 10 seconds. You know, you can choose. There's this absolutely crazy, insane thing in this reality that consistency is good. I mean, I think it was Emerson who said, foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. Mm-hmm. But in any case, you can choose and you can choose again. You go down this road and you go, I don't think that's right. So you go back and you go down a different road. Or you date someone and the first time you date them, you're like, I know we're destined to be together. And you go, wait a minute, that is not a question. Let's see what else is coming up. So you have a second or third date, you know what, actually, this is probably not going to work out too well. So the point is you get to keep changing your choices. And I think one of the things that makes people's lives so miserable sometimes is that they've made a choice and they won't allow themselves to make a different choice. I have to stick to this. It makes me a man, or it makes me, you know, reliable. It's ruining your life, honey.
To me, along with that goes, there is no wrong choice.
No, I like that. Say more.
Well, what if there is no wrong choice, that nothing you've ever chosen is wrong? It's just choice creates everything about your life. You created from a choice. And it's like, I don't know, somehow from that space is just, choice creates. I can just keep choosing. If I chose and it created something that's not working for me, choose again.
Yeah, choose again, choose again. Yeah. Yeah. I came to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I chose to eat a lot of Mexican food because it's so good here. Well, choice created a little bit more on my body. Now I'm making a different choice, but I don't have to judge myself as wrong about it.
Right.
It's just like, probably Mexican food 3 times a day is not going to create what I'd actually desire. But yeah. In any case, we are going on a big trip to New Zealand. So we will be having 2 repeat shows the next 2 Wednesdays. Pam, do you know what next week will be?
I was just looking that up. I was like, I bet we haven't looked that up. So next week, we're going to be doing a replay of Who Are You Making the Source? And then the week after, the 18th, What If You Got Rid of Sirius?
I love it.
Which would actually be a lot of that not making things significant.
Yes.
And I just want to say, in case you guys haven't seen this, Access Consciousness came out with an app called Who Does This Belong To?
Oh, it's awesome.
It's awesome. And it basically, you can set it to remind you to ask Who Does This Belong To? I am having so much fun with it.
Yep.
So you can check that out.
Thank you for joining us. We will be live, not next week or the next, but the week after that.
May 25th.
Yay!
And we have no idea what we'll be talking about yet.
But it'll be fun.
Bye, everybody.